It's one of them songs that puts a smile on your face. Amen. Puts a smile in your heart. That's where the smile begins, in the heart. I thought I'd say that to some of you so you could get started. Psalm 1. I'm eager to get into the psalm tonight. There's some things I'd like to share with you I hope will be a blessing to you. In Psalm 1, there's some contrast. The contrast between the godly and the ungodly. It's a theme throughout the Scripture, isn't it? God is forever, in His Word, contrasting the godly and the ungodly. As it's mentioned in verse number 6, it's the righteous and the ungodly. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The way of the ungodly shall perish. So it's not just a contrast between the two individuals. It's a contrast between, two ways. There's the way of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way. Look at what it says. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But now the way of the ungodly. So it's not just two individuals. It's two paths. It's two ways that these individuals have chosen. And then, of course, the Scripture finalizes that in many instances with the two destinies. See, the two ways are, Jesus talked about them. There's the straight gate, and then there's the wide gate, right? There's the broad way, and there's the narrow way. See, there's always these things. It's always been in life, and we get to choose. Those that choose the straight gate, Jesus likened those individuals that hear His word and keep it. He said, that's a wise man. But then there are those that they'll hear, but they won't keep His sayings. That's foolish man. And there again is a contrast. There's a contrast between wise and fools. And some people who think they're wise are fools. That's right. And you have to be careful who you spend your time with, and that's really what this psalm is about. It's about three things, and we talked about it a little bit Wednesday night. I'm going to give you those words again, and then we'll begin to build some truths around them. There's the guarded life. There's just some things that the blessed man. You see that word there in verse number 1? That first word? I challenge you to go home. If you don't have a Strong's Concordance, get you a Strong's Concordance. Get you a Bible dictionary. It doesn't have to be a Strong's, but I would recommend the old Strong's Concordance. Not the new exhaustive, but the old exhaustive, okay? That new. I tell you what, that new stuff will get you. You got to watch that new stuff. But get you an old Strong's Concordance, all right? And look this word up, and you'll find that the word is Asher. So that sounds a little familiar. That was the name of one of Jacob's sons, Asher. The name means, oh, blessedness, or oh, happiness, indeed. That's what the word Asher, Jacob's son, that's this word. If you'll just turn to this word and see how it's used in Psalm 1 and in other places of the Scripture where it's this word translated into our English word, blessed, it means extremely happy. And we talked about the extremely happy man. It's a man in Psalm 32 that has his sin forgiven, right? A man who's in right standing with God. Now I want you to understand something. I'm not talking about just a man who's saved. I know some saved people who are not happy. You ought to be happy. Amen. But you can be saved and be unhappy. So in Psalm 32, it's not talking about just being saved. It's talking about being in a right standing before God, having your sin confessed. Right? Amen. Yeah. And then we talked about the blessed man that trusteth in the Lord in Psalm 34. And David said, I tell you, you ought to taste and see. You can trust God. He's trustworthy. You ought to trust Him. And he said, if you do, you'll be happy. You'll be Asher. You'll be, oh, happiness. Right? Be blessed. Now, in Psalm 1, it's talking about this happy man again. Happy is the man that chooses the right way. Now, it's not just about choosing the right way. He said, if you're going to be happy in life, and I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say, because, there's always negatives. So I don't like negative. Well, get used to it. Life is full of negatives. But negatives do not have to have that negative connotation on us. It can bring positive results. The happy man, you want to be happy, you have to learn that there's some things to do positively, but there's some things not to do negatively. There's some things to shun. I think it was Charles Spurgeon, might have been Charles Spurgeon, I think it was he or Dwight L. Moody who made this statement. You can know a man by the friends he keeps, but you can also know him by the friends he doesn't. Yeah. By the company, I should say. You can know a man by the company he keeps, but you can also know him by the company he doesn't keep. And so there's just some things in life we have to say no to. It doesn't mean you have to be rude and ugly and mean-spirited, but there's just some things we have to say no, and some people we have to say no to. And so when I look at this psalm, I see these two men here. Actually, these two men is broken down into three things, and I want to give you this for this psalm. In Psalm 1 and 2, we have the man that is blessed, okay? The person who receives a blessing. He said, blessed is the man that. And he begins to lay out how you can be made happy and blessed by doing and not doing some things. So here in Psalm chapter 1, the first psalm in verses 1 and 2, it's the person who receives the blessing. And then in verse number 3, it's the person who is the blessing. Look at verse number 3. It's not just receiving the blessing. It says, and he shall be like a tree. He's going to bless some people. How's he going to do that? He's going to bring some fruit. The fruit's not for him. The fruit's to help others. And so when we receive the blessing, when we're happy, when we're in this state before God, then God can use us to be a blessing to others. Our fruit, the fruit that we bear, can be a blessing to someone else. Brethren, that's when you're the happiest. That's when I'm the happiest. When I love to receive the blessing. Don't misunderstand me. But I love to be the blessing too. Amen. I don't want to just be receiving the blessing. I do want to receive the blessing, but I want to be a blessing. There used to be a song we sang years ago, make me a blessing. Oh, I want to be a blessing, don't you? I want to be a blessing to somebody today, tomorrow. I just want to bless. I want God to use me to be a blessing to someone. And so we have in this psalm the man who receives the blessing. He said, blessed in verse number 1 is the man that. He said, I'm going to tell you how you can receive the blessedness, the happiness from God. And then he says, I'm going to tell you how you can be a blessing, how you can make others happy and blessed. And he said, you bring forth your fruit in your season, in verse number 3. And then in verses 4 through 6, it's the man who needs the blessing. There'll always be these three categories of people. And this psalm just breaks it down. Verse 1 and 2, it's the man who receives the blessing. Verse 3, it's the man who is the blessing. And then in verse 4 through 6, it's the man who needs the blessing. And so you're in one of those categories. You may be in more than one. You can receive and be the blessing. Amen. So that's the way the psalm is broken down. But then he said this. He said, I want you to think about these three words. And these are three words that I gave you Wednesday night, okay? Guarded. We have to learn what it is to guard some things in our lives. And we talked about that in some depth, so I'll just skim over that a little bit tonight. And I want to get to the second word, guided. Guided. I want His Word to be the guide of my life. Amen. And then if we will guard some things, which is negative, and if we will allow God to guide, that is positive, then here's the third word, gladdened. We will live a glad life. Amen. We will live, according to verse number 3, we will live a happy, stable, prosperous, successful life in God's eyes. And that's what matters. That's what matters. Maybe not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. And so let's look at this. Notice what he said here. Notice what he said. He said about this guarded life. And I'm just going to say a few things about this because we went into it a little bit, but there's a progression here. Can I tell you, there's always a progression. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he said, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The ungodly are those that don't make room for God. They do wrong, and they just don't care about what God has said. They're ungodly. Don't make room for God. Don't be taking counsel for people who don't make room for God in their life. And then he said this, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So you go from just walking to standing, right? You're a little more involved. And he said, sinners. Now, these are people who miss the mark. You want to find people that are hitting the mark, brethren. That's the people we want to get our counsel from. People that are hitting their marks, right? So I want to take some target practice. We'll find you somebody that's hitting the mark. Amen. You want to find somebody that's missing the mark? Why would you want to take target practice from them? Why would you want to get any kind of lesson from them? Find somebody in life that's hitting their marks, amen, reaching their spiritual goals, growing in the Lord, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen, sowing the seed of the gospel, amen, living out the word of God, amen, joy unspeakable and full of glory, amen, bringing up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you see, hitting their marks. See, God just lays out some marks for us. And we miss those marks, but through the ministry of the Word and the Holy Spirit, God enables us to hit some marks. And he said, you find some people. He said, now don't be walking with people who miss the mark. They'll mess up your aim. You listening? You'll be aiming at the wrong things. Whereas one time you might have been aiming at the bullseye, you might have been striving to hit the mark. You get around people that constantly miss the mark, and they'll influence you to where you don't care if you hit the mark or not. So he said, now don't walk in the way of the sinners or with the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinners. And watch what he said in verse number 1, nor sitteth. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, this verse says you follow the wrong counsel, you stand with the wrong companions. You follow the wrong counsel, you stand with the wrong companions, you end up sitting in the wrong crowd. Amen. I've seen it over and over and over again. And perhaps you have too. You cannot follow the wrong counsel without, as was said, standing with the wrong companions. And then before long, you'll be sitting in the wrong crowd. I can give you two biblical examples. An Old Testament example was Lot. He had a good companion. He had a good counselor. But he pitched his tent toward a place that was very wrong for him and his family. And it was all downhill from there. But it was a progression. It was a progression. It started with him just pitching his tent, didn't it? Toward the place. For long he was in the place. He was sitting with them. Peter is a New Testament example. Wasn't long. He was hanging out around outside of where the trial was taking place. For long he was engaging in conversation, sitting by the fire, and it wasn't long he was denying the Lord. But it all started when he was following afar off. It was a progression, you see. So we have to be careful. It can happen to any of us. So we have to what? Be on guard. Keep your guard up, brethren. Keep your guard up. Keep your spiritual antennas up. There's an enemy out there who is trying to wreck and ruin our lives. And we have to stand guard. We have to be on guard. Amen. Keep your hand on the sword. Amen. Listen to me. And so he said, blessed. You want to be happy? There's just some things that you cannot do. There's just some people you're going to have to separate from. Now hear me now. There's just some places you cannot go. There's just some things that Christians are going to have to understand that as children of the living God, we don't need to be a part of it. And so he said, blessed is that man that'll understand there's just some things that's not intended for we who are of God. And so we have to learn what it is to pull back and stay away from it. So that's the guarded life. The guarded life. Now Jesus said, they say, well, preacher, you know, you just don't know what I work in. It's easier for you, preacher. Well, I'm not going to say it's easy for me. And I hope you won't say that. I don't know that it's easy for anyone. I'll tell you this. The yoke of Christ is easy. And his burden's light. But now there's some hard places in life too, even for the preacher, whether you believe it or not. I fight battles too. I do. I understand you fight battles, and I understand you rub shoulders with the folks down there cursing and carrying on in the workplace. Listen, I understand. I've been where you are. I have. I've worked with that crowd all day and come here and preach to you. I mean, it was something. So don't think, well, the preacher doesn't know what I'm going through. Well, I don't know that it really matters. I want to know, but I think what's more important is that Jesus knows. Amen. He knows what you're going through. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we have to be careful now. This world will suck you in. I'm talking about guarding. This world will suck us in, brethren. Can I tell you that James chapter 4 says, you be careful. Don't you become a friend with the world now. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And you can go from being a friend of the world, James chapter 4, to being spotted by the world. You listening to me? You'll be tainted, spotted by the world. Is that what James said in James chapter 1? It sure is. You know what the next step is? 1 John chapter 2. You'll fall in love with this world and the things that are in it. It can happen. You say, oh, preacher, it won't happen to me. It's happened to better folks than us. It can happen. See, it all starts out with being a little friendly with the world. And before you know it, you're spotted by the world. Then before you know it, you're in love with the world. That's what the Bible teaches. And then Romans says you'll be conformed to the world. You'll start living like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, being like the world. But I want to tell you, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, if you don't get that right, you'll be condemned with the world. Read it. It's in the book. So guard. This is a warning, and here is a warning to the man who wants to be happy. He said, listen, stay away from these things. Nothing good can come out of this. Amen. Take this as loving warning to you. Guard some things. Put your guard up, brethren. Put your guard up. Understand that there's an enemy that is trying to get you to fall out of love with Jesus and in love with this old world system. And we have to guard. How are we going to do that, preacher? Well, we need a guide, don't we? And that's why it says in verse number 2, but his delight. See, my delight is not in the things of this world. My delight is not in the things of the world and the love of the world and friendship with the world, the ways of the world. My delight is in the law of the Lord. That word delight means pleasure. I take pleasure in God's word. Now, I must confess, there's sometimes I read God's word and it just, listen, it cuts like a knife, a sword, a two-edged sword. I mean, it gets down deep. And so what about this guided life? Let's talk about it a little bit. He said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How important is the word of God in our lives? Can I encourage you? Listen, I know what it's like. Again, the devil, the enemy, tries to keep us out of this book. Again, I want to quote another old saint of God, a preacher of righteousness. Dwight L. Moody said this. He said, this book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And so we have to guard against some things, and then we have to get in God's word so we can get some light and some guidance. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. God help me and God help you to spend time in God's word. I read something, and I don't know that it's so. I actually brought this to you a few weeks, maybe a couple of months ago. The average time of prayer in the average Christian's life in America is 3 minutes a day. So, well, our country's in a mess. I wonder why. Our country's spiraling out of control. Our country's denying God. Our country's going to hell, preacher. I wonder why, if that is so. But now I ask you, I can't control how long you pray. And I can't control how long the world prays, but I can control how long I pray. How long are you praying? Are you greater than the average? What about reading the Word? His delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm not beating up on you. I'm not shearing you tonight. I'm challenging you. I'm trying to ask you to see, how much time are we spending in God's Word? Do we read it? Do we study the Word? The Bible says study. You say, well, you're supposed to. You're a preacher. I hope to God. Listen, I studied the Bible before I even realized God called me to preach. Now, I must confess, I studied a little more intensely now that I've been called to preach. How many of you God called preachers? Raise your hand. How many God called preachers do we have in the building? Now, raise your hand high. Don't way up high. I'm so glad God's called me to preach. Amen. These men will tell you, when God calls you to preach, you will study a lot more intently, especially when he gives you a message that he wants you to develop, or he gives you a place to preach it. And he says, I want you to preach this, and I want you to preach it this time at this place. You will study. If you don't, there will be some sad consequences. But we're to read the Bible. We're to study. We're to meditate on the Scripture. Aren't we, brethren? Notice what he said. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I've told you before, meditation to the soul is like digestion to the body. I don't know much about cows. I like their milk and their meat. But they tell me that cows chew the cud. I've seen cows graze in the fields. I've seen them. And I tell you right now, it's a sight to see them things eat. You know, they just so slow, you know, just chew. And they say that what a cow does, and I don't know this, we have some men, some cattlemen here, they say that they just chew, and then they'll swallow what they chew, and then they'll say, what's a good word to use on resurrect? They resurrect it, and then they chew it some more. Can I tell you that at the root, and I challenge you again, at the root of the word meditate, it's that. Chew on it, digest it, and then chew on it, bring it back up and chew on it some more. Don't just read it and be done with it. See, this, look what he said. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That doesn't mean he's reading verse after verse after verse and chapter after chapter after chapter. Nothing wrong with that, but it may be one verse, it may be one phrase that day and night he's just thinking on that. He's musing on that thing, you see. And he just keeps bringing it up, and God's just teaching him and working on him and working it in him. So that's the way God's Word changes lives. Because if we don't just speed read it through and say, well, done, read the Bible this year. No, listen, I hope you do read the Bible through in a year. I'm in no way saying don't do that. I'm not saying don't read a certain amount of chapters a day. You do what works for you. But in addition to that, meditate, muse on it, chew on it some. Take it in. Then bring it back up and take some more of it in. Until you've got all of that God wants you to get out of that passage of Scripture, now move on, you see. But don't get in a race to see how much you can read in a certain period of time to get your duty in. No, it's not about duty. Look at the word again in verse number 2. But his delight, you see. When reading the Bible goes from being a duty to a delight, then things begin to pick up. Yes. Because we begin to see God's Word become operative in our lives, in our everyday living, and it makes such a difference. We just realize God's Word is powerful. It's transforming. It's life-changing. It makes me the person that I ought to be, and it helps me to do the things I ought to do, you see. God's Word does that. That's why the psalmist said, you want to be happy? When you lay your head down on your pillow at night, meditate in this book right here. Stay away from some things and some individuals and some situations. And take in God's Word and muse on it and let it work on you and work in you. and work it out in your life and be obedient to it and practice it. It'll make all the difference in your day and in your life. A guided life. I wrote down some things I'd like to share with you before I get to my final thought. And these are just a few things, okay? Psalm 119. Let's just turn there. Psalm 119, okay? What time did I start preaching? About 6:45? It's 10 till now. Look at all y'all sitting there like, oh, I don't know, preacher. I don't keep up with the time. Psalm 119. Let's look at a few things. And I've got these thoughts, and then I do have that final, the glad life. So we're talking about the guided life. There are some things we have to guard against. Now, all of us have to. Say, I may not have to guard against what you guard against. Now, we all have to guard against some things that are the same. But there's some things that you perhaps may have to guard against that I don't, and there's some things I have to guard against that you don't. But I think we all know some things we need to really be on guard about. Amen. If you don't know your weaknesses by now, you need to really get to researching. Say amen with me, folks. It's serious business. If you don't identify your weaknesses quick in life, you're going down. Understand that, all right? Now, Psalm 119, the psalmist says some things about God's word. And really, Psalm 19 is an elaboration on what Psalm 1 is about God's word. It's an expansion of it. And he said this. He said, I love your word more than food. Look at Psalm 119. Look at 103. Now, it's in many places, and I started to write them all down. I said, I'm not going to do that. You go home and research it. Psalm 119, 103. Look at what he says. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is sweeter than food to me, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God, I delight in your word, you see. Now listen, this is not just hypocritical rhetoric. This is spirit-filled writing. This psalmist means this. He's got to this place in his life. Can I tell you, we can too. I've gone through periods of times in my life where I just read the Bible purely out of duty. Purely out of duty. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. There's been times I didn't even read my Bible. When I was sick some time ago, I couldn't even listen. I had some folks say, did you get my text? No, I didn't. I might have. I didn't care. I'm just being honest with you. I was so sick, I couldn't even pick my head up off my pillow. And you want me to read your text? I'm glad you prayed for me, though. Don't take that wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You say, I've been a sick preacher. I didn't want to raise my head up off my pillow. And so there's times I didn't read my Bible. You say, did you read your Bible when you had COVID? Not much. Not much. I've done a lot of praying, though. Amen. What little strength I had, I was calling out to God and sharing. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I thought she had it too. She did. She didn't have as bad as I did. They never do, do they, men? Amen. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. Thank God for my wife. Well, we better get back to the word. Well, I'm in the word. Psalm 119, 103. You say, preacher, I haven't gotten there yet. Well, you know, the things I'm going to mention are things that people love. That's why I chose just these things. Now, the Bible says a lot about loving the word more than other things, but I chose some things that I know that we all love. You tell me you don't love food, I'm looking at you, so I know better. We are a food-loving bunch. Amen. And that's not a bad thing. Thank God for the food and the things that he gives us that we can take into our bodies and eat and drink. Amen. But here, now, the psalmist said this. Look again, Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste! Exclamation, emphasis. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. There's a good place. Now, there's a man that delights in the law of the Lord. You say, preacher, could I ever get there? Well, sure you can. God's no respecter of persons. Every one of us can get here. I don't think you're going to just get there overnight. I think it's a process. It's an understanding. Now, if you would, stay in Psalm 119. So it was more important to him than food. You say, well, I love food. Yeah, I know, but he loved the word more. And I want to get there. Here's something that we love, sleep. See, I don't love sleep. Yeah, you do. I think everybody loves sleep. Some don't love it as much as others, but you need it. I don't need sleep. Okay, you stay up for about 72 hours and then come see me. If you can make it. You'll be talking out of your head. Be delirious. Sleep is important. But God's word is more important. That's what the psalmist said. Look in, you're in Psalm 119. Look at this. Look in verse number 62. Psalm 119, look at verse 62. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. Why? Because of thy righteous judgments. I'm just so thankful for thy word. I'll disregard sleep. I'll get up and give you thanks. I'll rise up and give you thanks for your word. Your word means more to me than my sleep. Remember in your life when it was that way? When you didn't hit the snooze? You just got on up and spent that time, that quality time in God's word and God's presence? It can be that way again. Look at another verse that I wrote down. Look in 147, Psalm 119, 147. Still talking about sleep. Psalm 119, 147 and 148 say this, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. That challenges me. Here's a man that said, I love sleep. I need sleep, but I love your word more. Your word means more to me than sleep. It means more to me than food. Now, that's two things that we need and love. But this man says that God's word means more to me than they do. Let me give you two more, okay? Friends. Friends are a good thing. Now, I used to tell my children, I still believe this, friends are overrated. And this was before Facebook. Now I know they're overrated. Right? But a good friend that'll stand there with you, stand by you, in the hard times of life, they're hard to find. And there's something money can't buy. You talking about precious now. A loyal friend. If you have you a loyal friend, you've got you something. Amen. And you need to thank God for them. Because they're few and far between, but I thank God for the loyal friends that God has sent me in my life and time. And I know you do too. And you that have loyal friends, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about these Johnny-come-latelys. I'm talking about loyal friends that'll be there when everyone walks away. Now that's a friend right there. And here, the psalmist, we're still in Psalm 119. Notice what he said in verse 23, Psalm 19, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 119, verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. He said, you know, I could have gone to my friends. There were those I had. He said, but I found your word to be more valuable to me in that time than even a close friend. He said, I value your word more than a friendship. And then finally, wealth. Wealth. Psalm 119, look if you would in verse 14. Verse 14 of Psalm 119. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Look if you would in verse number 72 of Psalm 119. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now here's a man who delighted in God's word. That's what I'm trying to show. And brethren, I want to delight in God's word, and I believe you do, but now there's an enemy that's going to try to stop us from doing that. All right? Because God's word, it's a lamp and it's a light to our feet and our path, and it's a guide to us. And we need God's guidance. There's certainly things we need to guard against, but we need some guidance in the pathway of life. And I'm glad that God provides that in the Word of God, aren't you? As we close, we go back to Psalm 1 to bring this to a close. Would you go back there and we'll close this out. Psalm 1, the gladdened life. So we've seen the guarded life. And when you just realize there's some things that I've got to guard against, there's just some things I cannot do. I cannot do some things. There's some situations I'm just going to have to remove myself from. There's some people I'm just going to have to stay away from. Doesn't mean be mean. Doesn't mean be arrogant toward them. Just means it's not good for me to be around them. It's not good for me to be in this situation. I'm removing myself from it to guard myself, to protect my spirit, so that I can be blessed of God, happy in where I am in my walk with Christ. And then I want the guided life. I want God's word to guide me. I want to delight in His word. I want to get my instruction from the word of God. I want to meditate day and night. I want to be musing and thinking about what God wants to do in my life and how He wants to use me. And if we put these two things together, and the Bible guarantees, verse number 3, look at it. And he shall be, who? The man who guards some things, the man who allows God's word as he delights in it and meditates in it to guide him. That man shall be like a tree. Now I'm telling you, we're getting ready to see some things about some trees. Trees can be some of the most beautiful part of God's creation that there is, especially during the fall of the year. They're beautiful to look on. The multicolors, I mean, the size of some of the trees and the multicolor, the trees. This speaks, I believe, of stability. See, the man that guards and the man who allows guidance, the happy man has some stability in his life. And he said, he shall be like a tree that is useful and beautiful and fruitful. They're just a wonder. They provide stability. And he said this, to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, he's tapped into the resource. I want to be tapped into the resource. Amen. That's where it's at. You got to get tapped in. I've seen some days where the power of God was arcing from heaven to earth, brethren. But you got to get tapped in, you see. It just doesn't happen. You got to get tapped in. Got to be like a tree, not just any tree. He said the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, the resources, it feeds that root system. It's important what we're rooted in. We have to be rooted in the right thing. Rooted and grounded in Christ. And when we're that, we're going to be happy. We're going to produce some things. So we go from stability to productivity. Notice what he said. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You believe that? I believe with every fiber of my being. I try to live it. I want to be prosperous for God. I want to be blessed of God, and I want to be a blessing to someone else. Now notice something. He said here that he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Fruit. Fruit. I wrote this down. I hope you'll write it down. And if you don't, I hope you'll go back and check the tape. Fruit. Fruit. Fruit is for other people. Fruit's not for the tree. The tree's the bearer. Others are the partaker. See, God wants me to be happy, just not so I can be happy, but so I can influence and I can affect other people's lives. Amen. God wants me to be blessed. Not just so I can inherit the blessing and I can enjoy the blessing. See, God will give a lot of things through me that He won't just give to me. Not everything that God sends my way is to me. It's so He wants to give through me. So when He mentions fruit, I wrote down some things and I hope you'll write them down and then we'll pray and close. Fruit. In Romans 1:13, souls is fruit. Souls. Paul said, I hope to have some fruit among you there when I come to Rome. Philippians 4:17, that wonderful passage when Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, he said, not that I desire a gift, but that I might have some fruit among you that would abound to your account. Some souls. See, when we are guarded and we are guided, when we are planted like a tree and we bear fruit, then God will use us to reach souls, brethren. And that's what this is about. Second thing that fruit in the scripture is, it's godly character. Read Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is not manufactured. It's produced by the Spirit of God. That ninefold fruit of the Spirit. It's godly character. So the scripture says he shall bring forth his fruit. I believe it means there'll be a measure of souls that'll be reached. There'll be godly character that'll come out of this. And then he said this, it's money given to the Lord's work. That's Romans 15:28. Write it down. I hope you'll look at it. Colossians 1:10, it's good works and service. That's fruit. And then finally in Hebrews 13, verse number 15, the fruit of the praise of God that comes from our lips. See, when we're guarded, we're guided, when we're planted, we'll bring forth fruit, we'll be praising God. And brethren, I'm going to tell you, praise is comely, and God inhabits the praises of his people, and God will get on us, and God will begin to have people to gravitate so that we can have the fruit of the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. That's the gladdened life. I want to live the gladdened life. But it just doesn't happen. You just don't wake up one day and say, I'm glad. That's a passing gladness. There's a gladness that intentionally happens, purposefully happens, when we guard against some things and we are guided by God's law. Gladness will always follow. You search the scriptures. This is not the only place that it's mentioned. Let's stand, if you would, and we'll have a word of prayer. I've enjoyed studying about the, and I don't know that I'm through. There's other places in the scripture. I'm still studying the happy, the blessed man. Happy. This world needs some happiness. I tell you. You walk around today and you look in people's faces and there's just blankness. And there's sadness and there's the look of despair. And the only thing that will bring joy, lasting, real joy and happiness, is the God of heaven and his law and obedience to his word. Let's bow our heads together.